welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawley's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawley's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, let's talk about the look back at last week's game at Hickman. You know, 90-28.
You know, people have asked me, how did that happen? Have people asked you how that happened?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, when you look statistically, we scored 55 points in the first quarter, but we only had 138 yards. That's what's kind of shocking about that. You would think that you would score that many points and you'd just be running up and down the field. But they gave us such short fields and turned the ball over in really bad positions for them. We capitalized really quick on all those turnovers. I thought we executed really well. And that's what you're supposed to do. You know, a team's going to give you turnovers. You need to capitalize on those turnovers. We were able to do that and really get a massive lead early in the game and continue to execute. I was really proud of the way our twos and threes got out there and continued to execute and to run, run our offense and run our defense. And, yeah, you know, they had more yards than us. They had 4 yards of offense. We had 398. But, you know, all their yards came late in the game, you know, against our backups. But they kept fighting, so we kept fighting. And, you know, unfortunately it was an injury to Ben Hawley that brought that game to an abrupt end. You know, Ben's doing better. And that we're really thankful for that.
This week, battle, your first home game, got to be excited to be at home for what third time this year?
Yeah, excited to be at home. I think there's a lot of interesting things going on. Obviously, it's our first home game. The 40th anniversary of the 1984 team. I was talking to those guys a little bit. I said, I didn't play on that team. I played on the 83 team. I said, you know, we were good in 83. And, you know, we only had about six seniors that actually played substantial football back in 83. And I knew they were going to be really good the next year because they had so much experience coming back and some really talented players. And, you know, that was just a proud moment for me, even though I wasn't on that team, because they were all my friends. And it was really proud for me because my dad won his first state championship, and you know, to be there at Arrowhead Stadium and to witness that's always going to be one of those memorable moments, and I know how much that meant to him, to get that first state championship. And we're also going to be honoring the All-Americans because we've unretired our all the numbers this year. The jerseys stay retired, but because we're cycling in a new set of Nike jerseys this year, I was really at the point with so many linemen in the program, I didn't have enough lineman numbers, and so the decision was kind of made to unretire them. And so we're going to present them a game ball to in honor of their All-American status, and that'll be part of Friday night's festivities too.
Okay, so let's just now look at the game. You know, battle 0-2, but, you know, you can always count. They've got good athletes, and they've got guys that can go the distance on any
yes,
play.
Yes, they always have scary speed, and they're really big up front. And that's no different, you know, this year with their battle team. And I know they've lost a couple of their really good linemen, and they're out. I don't know if one of them might be coming back, but, you know, they're – really, really talented lineman hurt his foot this summer in camp, and I believe he's still inactive. And so that hurts them a little bit up front. But, you know, I see them improving on tape from week one to week two. You know, they had the lead on Cap City early in that game. I know they're going to come down. You know, it's a conference game. It's a meaningful game. They're going to come down and play, you know, really hard, really physical football, and we need to match that physicality.
Thanks, Chris.
Tom, I think the obvious place you've got to start after a week in which it was, you know, you post a 90-28 win. I think I know the answer already, but the Hawley's coaching staff does not strike me as the type of people who would just run things up against somebody. But I know there's probably people out there going, man, they must have just, you know, wanted to make a statement or something. So how did last week play out exactly to where the point where you get 90 points in a game? A lot of things have got to go right for you, and a lot of things have got to go wrong for the other team.
Yeah, it took about an hour and a half after the game before I got my first phone call wanting to know what the heck happened. And it took, you know, the great calm discourse that is the internet
right.
to start throwing things out about how Hawley's had to run it up on them and why did they do that. And look, it was 55-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
1 point from a state record for most points in a quarter. It It was not good. Hickman was not very good. Helias was really good. You go back to week one, they won 31-20 against Hannibal, the number four team in class four.
Right.
Chris said that was their C-plus effort.
Yeah, exactly.
And was and it's like, well, we're going to fix that. Well, right. They fixed it.
Right.
You know, they did. They came out and they were focused. They played very, very well against an opponent that, as of right now, as of this year, under a first-year head coach there now, in his first year there, Justin Conyers, trying to put a new system in, trying to get things going up there. It wasn't a great night for Hickman.
Right.
Helias, you know, scored 55 points in the first quarter, had 138 offensive yards.
Yeah.
You know, they returned a fumble and an interception in a span of four plays for touchdowns.
Right, right.
There's just, it just got away from Hickman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not here to defend Helias. They can defend themselves sure. all they want. But the first thing I tell people is, did you watch the game?
Right, right.
Because, frankly, it's still out there. If you're going to go back and watch the video.
Yeah.
And kind of show me where there was a chance for them not, you know, to run it up. Because it really didn't happen. You can't tell. You know, they started substituting in the middle of the second quarter. Starters didn't play at all in the third quarter and, you know, the half the fourth quarter before the game was stopped. You know, you can't tell those kids not to play.
Right. And that's the thing that I think people don't realize is, you know, you may go into a game knowing you've got an opponent that's overmatched. Yeah. And you may go in with a plan where you go, okay, well, we're going to limit this or we're going to start substituting here. But this sounds like this is one of those games where even if you have a plan and say, we're only going to let our starters play a half. Well, by the time the half was over, it was 76-14.
Yeah.
So it was already done. You know, your plan had already been blown up. So it's not like at that point you can go, well, let's start revising a plan that we already had and make it even easier on somebody. You just got to go and go, okay, sometimes you play and sometimes things go unbelievably easily well and sometimes they don't. And this was one of those cases where it just, everything fell into place.
Yeah, you know, 76-14 at half, Hickman gets the kickoff to start the third quarter, tries to run a reverse on the kickoff return, fumbles it, and Helias recovers it at the five.
Right.
The next play, you know, Helias runs it up the middle with like their third or fourth string running back
right.
for a touchdown.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do? Take knees?
I've had people tell me that.
I don't think you can.
You can't. No. That's worse.
Right. That's more humiliating.
Yeah. And so, you know, a couple things Chris wanted to work the offense to work on that game was run between the tackles. Go back and watch and see how many of their runs. They average nearly almost eight yards a carry. Almost all of them were between the tackles.
Right.
You're a class six school. You're playing a class six school. If they can't stop you running between the tackles, what are you supposed
to do? Exactly.
He also wanted to work on throwing the ball. We'll go back. They were 8-12 in the first half throwing it. The longest pass they threw was 30 yards. They threw another touchdown for 24 yards, I think, that a kid really had, Logan Hillman, had to make a great catch to bring down in the end zone. Other than that, they were just short little dunks that then they were running, and they were
right.
picking up yards that way.
Yeah.
It was just one of those nights. It was probably as good as Helias. Well, Chris said didn't say flawless. He went back and found some things in the tape.
Right.
But, you know, probably as good as they could have played against an opponent that probably played as bad as it could play. You know,
right.
the road, I personally think, you know, Coach Conyers is going to get things going up there at Hickman, but right now it's just not there.
Yeah. Again, that's probably enough said about that game because that's. But again, I think you do have to do that because again, you're right. There are too many people that are out there that are gonna. They're just looking for an excuse to criticize anybody for anything. And like I say, in that instance, I don't think there's anything they could have done differently. Where you go, okay, yeah, like I say, if you start taking knees early or you start calling plays that you know are purposely not going to work, then that's more. That's more deteriorating for the other team to just have to sit there and watch you go. We're not even trying against you now.
And Hickman had its starters in up through the fourth quarter. You
right.
know, they were still trying to get things done. And,
right.
and so I think it was just a night that the score, unfortunately, turned out to be what it was.
Yeah, exactly. The end result is that the Crusaders are now 2-0 overall and 1-0 in the CMAC now. They'll be playing tonight at 7 o'clock against Battle. It's a Battle team that is 0-2 overall and 0-1, you know, in the CMAC. You know, lost 34-14 at North Kansas City in week one, and then lost, you know, 42-18 at Cap City, where they had a lead and just gave up, you know, a bunch of unanswered scores to lose that one. So, again, it's one of those things where you go, okay, you know, Kyle and I kind of talked about it in the Capital City podcast, but this is a kind of a win for Cap City last week that you go, you know, when you came into the conference and you thought, okay, we know the top is going to be very, very top heavy, and then we're going to have games where we prove ourselves and see where things shake out. Well, it looks like this is one of those years where battle a team where you slate for the mid-tier of the CMAC may not be one of those mid-tier teams this year, just depending on how it all plays out.
Yeah, it's that's another, program in a second year under a coach that's just trying to find, I think, and you hate to kind of throw this trite phrase around, but trying to find its identity.
Right.
And it seems like that's kind of been the way it's been up there almost ever since Battle got in the CMAC. It's just been, kind of churn, been through a couple coaches, obviously they have have a handful of talented players, but, something just isn't clicking.
Right.
And, until they get that going, and it may just be a matter of getting a big win or two that everybody's confidence gets up and excited to play football, that may be what gets them going. And it could happen tonight. I don't think it is, intent later for picks, but, they may just be one big win away from kind of get going again, but until that happens, it looks like they're going to struggle.
How much of this might be just a case of, they want a state title so early on in their existence that I almost think it like heightened expectations to a level where you just thought, okay, they're just going to be a power from word one, from the get-go, and they're just never going to struggle. And we're seeing where it hasn't been that easy ever since kind of that state title. So you almost go, I think maybe on some level it does them a disservice by every year you're going, they're going to be good no matter what, when maybe that's just, they're going to be like a lot of teams, and they're just going to have some good years, some bad years, and some years it's just going to be like, well, it's a matter of how it comes together.
Yeah, talk about Justin Connors. He was their coach when they won, I think, right. Back in 2013. It's, you always wonder how bigger schools, class 5, class 6, which is, basically the majority of the CMAC, you expect them to be better. They expect them to be talented. And again, I think it is just a matter of culture. And finding an identity and figuring out exactly what we do and who we are. And sometimes until you do that, you're just going to struggle. The kids have to buy in. I'm sure the coaches are buying in and doing their best to get it going. But until the kids buy in, it just sometimes isn't going to happen.
And I think in some ways that's just a credit to a program like Helias, where you go, show me a down year. They just don't happen very often. And other places it happens a lot, where you just go, yeah, some years we just don't have the athletes, or we're waiting for this class to come through because then we'll be really good. So I think it's just a credit to the teams that can have sustained excellence. It's almost a thing where you go, gosh, I'm even more impressed with you guys being able to do this sort of thing year after year after year.
Yeah, you walk in, there are expectations.
Sure.
Even for the freshman team, even for the JV, there are expectations when you get there. And I watch practice for, hour and a half every week. There are expectations on the practice field, and it doesn't matter who you are. If you don't meet those expectations, even at practice, you're going to hear about it.
Right.
And so, they hold the kids to a standard. And, the kids are buying in. It's a program that, is kind of self-sustaining it right now, because everybody knows I can't get in here and screw around.
Right.
I got to go earn my spot, and when I earn my spot, I'm going to have to work hard to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess if there is a thing, and I think this is one that where I think both you and I are obviously leaning towards, we think this is going to be a Helias victory tonight, but is there something about Battle where you go, okay, if this one ends up being a little bit not as easy as you think, or they all of a sudden they find themselves in a game in the fourth quarter, what's gone on in this game where you go, okay, if Battle's there late, what's happened in this one?
Helias has turned it over two or three times.
Okay.
And maybe Battle's, like last week, they returned a fumble against Capital City for a touchdown. They've done that again. And Chris Brown, their running back, say he goes off and busts one or two for 60, 70 yards. Could it be, both teams in the 20s going to the fourth quarter? It sure could.
Right.
And, if Helias doesn't stay focused, this is week three. The meat of the schedule is still upcoming. These are games you need to take care of early, and then move on and be ready to go after this.
Yeah. I think I'm not alone in saying that, some of the best or most fun things that appear in the preview stories in this morning's paper, every week I think the notes are the most fun part, and there's a lot to discuss from your notes in this morning, and I don't want to spoil all of it, so go up and pick up a copy of the paper for yourself. But there's a couple things that stood out, one of them being, seems like there's a few more injuries or things to discuss in terms of the health of the squad than maybe some weeks.
Right, let's just go back to the Hickman game. Ben Holly was the player that got hurt on a kickoff return, you know, and they brought out a stretcher to take him off, took him to the hospital in Columbia that night, ran a bunch of tests, and turns out he thankfully everything, he passed all his tests, all good. He has been at he's been attending practices this week. He's in concussion protocol and, you know, likely will not play for a few weeks, if not longer, just because of that. But it was nice to see Ben in practice and, you know, to know that he's back with the team and he's very healthy, because that was a little bit of a scary moment there for, yeah, you know, 5-10 minutes when that happened. And then, you know, Alex Marbury may or may not play tonight. Wise running back slash safety slash kickoff returner slash punt returner.
That's a lot of slashes.
Yeah, it's a lot of slashes, and he's a slasher. He's got a bit of a sore ankle, and, you know, right now they're trying to – I think it'll be how he feels, you know, once – you know, he's going to dress out, and it's how he feels whether he's going to play. And, you know, he's big. He scored – on offense, he scored on defense, and he's returned a kick already this year through two games. He's their leading scorer. He's dynamic, you know, an All-State returner last year. But, you know, they've got guys behind him. You know, C.J. Howell ran the ball well. Ben Lanigan, who is just dying to be a running back and get in. You know, he plays great on defense, but is just dying to be a running back. He wants to – he's going to probably play a little bit tonight too. And so, you know, I think the offense will have a little bit of a different look, but C.J. Howell is a really good shifty runner as well. He'll also probably return the kicks if Alex doesn't play. You know, and Lanigan, he's just a tough little kid, who's going to get out there and run hard and, yeah, and make it pay to take him down. And, you know, and Brady Phan, too, will be also probably in the running back mix if Alex doesn't play. So, I mean, they've got guys, but, you know, one thing to watch, you know, Alex, they've got, you know, games coming up with Camdenton and Rockbridge, and then you get into the Jeff City, Capital City stuff. So I think it might be a question of, do you sit Alex this week to kind of make sure he's as healthy as he can be for the stretch you have coming up?
Sure. Well, like I said before, I'm not going to spoil all the notes, but one other note that I did want to mention from your story was the fact that I don't think this can possibly be right, but apparently it's been 40 years since the 84 state championship team won its title. It can't be 40 years, can it, Tom?
It cannot. You know, no, neither one of us were here at that point, despite
what
some people might think. It's close, though. Yeah, they, you know, 84, they beat Joplin Parkwood for a state title up at Arrowhead Stadium. You know, it was Ray Hinch's first state title as a head coach at Elias, won another one in 98. You know, that team had Ted LePage at quarterback and had Craig Lammers as running back. You know, Chris Hinch's, you know, Elias' coach now, graduated in 83. And, you know, in part of it, you know, he gets into the story of how he knew how good that team that
right.
next year was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a team, they're honoring them tonight. There's going to be a little barbecue, beforehand, and then they'll recognize them, I think, on the track before the game about 6:30. So, you know, if anybody wants to get there early and recognize those guys, you know, everything I've heard is it's a group that has really stuck together and are still great friends and have really been looking forward to this night.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, I think I know what you're going to pick for the winner, but what do you think the margin's going to be tonight?
I think, you know, it's not going to be 90. Let's go ahead and clear that
right,
up now.
Right,
That was just that I've never seen. You know, I've covered football. This is my 40th year covering high school football. Never seen anything like that. Doubt I'll ever see it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Elias 41-14.
Okay. All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.